going. Here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. We're just finished watching Extreme Rules 2013, which is, once again, for I think probably the fourth or fifth year in a row, a better show than WrestleMania.
Yeah, it definitely was a better top to bottom. Again, I think being in that, whatever it is, 2 hour, 45 minute window, not the 3 hours, versus 4 hours, definitely helped it. And a better crowd, too, in terms
better,
of...
Better crowd, at least, you know, the way the crowd is mic'd. But also just, actually, I think the in-ring action was better. I think the matches were better tonight. I think it's a solid event. Not as good as last year's Extreme Rules, which, of course, had Match of the Year in the main event last year, with Cena versus Lesnar.
Didn't get that, but
still really good, like I say, better again than WrestleMania. Let's just go through it here. Started off with The Miz, with a figure four beating Cody Rhodes.
One of the guys
show.
Who puts the W in WWE.
Yeah, they did on their website. They had their 10 guys with the W in WWE, and Cody Rhodes was among them. There were some weird choices in there,
well,
for sure.
Cody Rhodes being an amateur wrestler, I think, is maybe where they were going with that.
Maybe, I guess. Why wasn't Talia in there, or Tyson Kidd?
Because their hearts.
Oh.
That's the technical thing, bullshitty thing. Well, I mean, Tyson Kidd was in there because he's awesome. I think Natalya was in there because she was a heart.
You're probably right. Yeah. But The Miz over Cody Rhodes, about 5 minutes. Not a long match.
Yeah, nothing. Pre-showy, you know, whatever.
Anything to say about it?
No. I mean, he won with the figure four. Jerry Lawler said Ric Flair-like figure four or whatever. No, it wasn't. And nobody wooed.
A few people wooed.
When Hunter did it in the main event, the figure four to Brock Lesnar, a lot of people wooed.
Yeah.
And that tells you all you need to know about The Miz.
Yeah. Well, The Miz, what gets me is The Miz was gone forever.
Yes.
And I hope my dog doesn't bark and everybody hears it here.
Oh, she will.
She will. But what I love is The Miz was gone forever and his music hits. And I, you know, on Monday there, and I look up, I'm like, fuck, The Miz, I wasn't expecting him. He's been gone for a couple months or whatever.
Yeah.
And the crowd had the same reaction, like, oh, shit, The Miz. Oh, yeah, The Miz.
The Miz.
It was like, oh, shit, The Miz. Oh, The Miz. Yeah.
Oh, The Miz.
I remember now.
Right.
The problem with The Miz is he's The Miz.
Well, the problem with The Miz is that he's a cock-sucking motherfucker.
And that was pretty much the reaction, like, for a return, there's no huge reaction, welcome back, big pop. He came out to one of the mildest reactions for maybe the mildest reaction for a return I've ever heard. Like, it was crazy.
Nobody started a You Still Got It chant.
Because he never had it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, that was weird.
Yes.
Then
we opened the pay-per-view.
Yes.
With Fandango and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and we were going back and forth on who would get the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
I said I probably figured that Jericho would get it, and did.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was a good match. It was a decent match. I mean, we left a couple minutes to get there early on to go get the pizza. Missed about probably 2-3 minutes of it. But, I mean, it was all right. It was a better, I don't know, let's call it an average match. It didn't suck. It wasn't wonderful, but it was solid.
Yeah, and what do you think about Jericho winning?
It's interesting. I mean, I would have thought, again, that must mean that I would hope that he would... that he's, you know, good to stick around, I guess, then. I don't know. I mean, there's two ways of going. This might just be the story where the babyface prevails at the end, and then he can still go out on tour.
Which is what I think.
I just would have thought that if you're going to keep Fandango, you know, there. I mean, again, losing doesn't ultimately necessarily matter, I guess. You know what I mean? At the grand scheme of things, end of the day. But I just would have thought since he would have been staying that he would have been winning. But, you know, whatever. I guess that was a long way of saying it really doesn't matter either way.
Well, okay. Number one, I mean, I think it is just, you know, the heel gets beat down, and then at the last match wins. I think that's what it is. But what I'm wondering is, does it mean that they have... Is this the first crack in the WWE pushing of and believing in Fandango? You know, we know how Vince is. He loves a guy, and then he grows bored with him. Or they decide somebody, they're like, oh, we're giving him the push, and he doesn't get over to the level they expected. They've stopped talking about the Fandangoing. They stopped showing anybody in the crowd doing it. Very few people. There was a little bit of the chanting tonight, but not very much when they came out. There was, you know, he lost. They put this really expensive, incredibly expensive, elaborate entrance, and they gave him this huge push as far as airtime and talking about the Fandangoing, and it didn't take off. So are they giving up on him? Is this WWE getting bored and moving on now to their next shiny toy?
I don't think so yet. I just think that it's WWE and everybody has to lose. And that's just the way that
it is.
It's
just kind of
even Steven booking. Yeah, it's, you know, 50-50 booking. The Shield are going to get it coming up here soon, too. Is that it's just going to be now 50-50 booking because we can't make any stars. We have to make WWE the focus. And that's just everybody can go on that same level, and I think that's just what it is. Fandango will probably get a win over fucking, I don't know, like a Zack Ryder tomorrow, and whatever, move on, right? That's it.
I don't know. I think this could be the first sign that they're. I think we could see him being jobbed out and not. And I think I could see, say, 2 months from now, him not having that elaborate entrance anymore. You know, maybe just having the curtain thing, but not having the.
Well, sure.
You know, like we've seen it many times. So.
We have, and it could very well be. I just don't think it's too soon for me to say that's going to be the case. Really, ultimately, he's had, what, 2 matches? He's won one and he's lost one, right?
Yeah, no, on pay-per-view matches that can't matter.
Well, on TV matches, how many TV matches has he had?
Well, he's had a few.
Nah, not that many.
He beat Kofi Kingston. He beat...
Probably Zack Ryder.
He did beat Zack Ryder.
Yeah, so... That's it, though. I mean, but I would expect him...
Did he beat Daniel Bryan? I think he beat Daniel Bryan.
Maybe. I wouldn't expect him to beat Daniel Bryan going forward, but I would expect him, if he fought Zack Ryder again, to beat Zack Ryder. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's just kind of the thing. That's where
well,
he is.
He
could beat Sweet Tea, you know, like, just whatever. But if he fought a Daniel Bryan or a Kofi Kingston at this point, maybe he loses, maybe he wins. I mean, it's just...
Fights
Alberto Del Rio, he loses.
In many ways, it's less of a... It's less me... saying this about Fandango. It's more me saying this about them, how quickly they give up on people.
Sure, and again, but I don't have any evidence that they've given up on him yet. If in a month from now we could, and he's doing that, or a couple weeks from now and they're doing it, then we could kind of have that conversation. But as I said, one loss does a give up not make.
Combination of one loss with the combination of not pushing the Fandangoing, and
they did though. They have the thing. It says that when I pointed out on the Titantron,
but they put that on,
and then they
ago.
Showed Fandangoers in
yeah,
as they were coming.
They're not
down.
Pushing it though. So we'll see. I get that feeling though that's it. They just give up on it. But like you say, it's less to do with Fandango, and more to do with an indictment of how quickly they give up on people and how stupid they are in pushing people, making them stars.
Oh sure, they're idiots.
So.
What do we have next? Then we had the IC or the US title match, I guess, with Ambrose winning the title over Kofi.
The important thing here is Shield didn't come out. He wins it clean, one on one.
Yeah, with that Bulldog DDT thing.
Yeah, exactly. A solid win and a solid match, and the crowd was certainly into the title change. They're into Ambrose. The question is, does this belt elevate him or help him at all?
Well, and that's like I said, time's going to tell on that one. I'm not convinced.
And where does Kofi go from here? Does it matter?
Kofi goes back to where Kofi's always been. I mean, it doesn't really matter with Kofi because he's just kind of slotted in that spot where they give him a belt every once in a while, and then he loses a belt and he goes back to having matches with other mid-carders. Like, I could see him fighting, you know, what's his name? Cesaro, right? On SmackDown this coming week and losing, you know what I mean? You know, just there, it's that mid-card glut that Kofi can go back into. Now, not that he wasn't in there before, but he had the title. Now he just doesn't have the title. Well, he'll probably win the title about 8 more times over the next 3 years.
One of the things that we saw here is the pre-show and the post-show. They had them, showed them a little bit during the event. It was Titus O'Neil, Wade Barrett, and
Foley.
Mick Foley, along with Renee Young.
Yeah.
Kind of that, you know, like I say, it, more of a sports presentation,
mm-hmm.
Where nobody's playing their character, really. Nobody's heel or face. It's interesting. Titus looked kind of nervous. Wade Barrett stumbled a couple times, but generally he's very good at this type of thing. Mick Foley's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, and I'd like to see Antonio Cesaro do that. I think he'd be great.
Yeah, I'd just like to see more of this. We talked about maybe doing this. We thought that they should have done this for the first you know, what is it, a year ago, maybe even longer, that we said that this should have been, this something like this should be like the first hour of the 3-hour Raw. Actually, we said it of a 2-hour Raw at the time.
Yeah, the 2-hour,
you know,
yeah.
Do the first hour and then hype up to two big matches or whatever.
Yeah.
And I still think that that can work.
Yeah, I absolutely do. You know, especially if you're in 3 hours, I think the first hour allotted these guys some a lot of promos backstage, some video packages.
Yeah.
Maybe a you know a real life profile, and a lot of hype for the matches,
yeah.
Highlights from last week and analysis, and really make you hype for those next couple hours. I think that's the way to go.
It is.
Again, and treat it more like the match. Make the matches more important. Make them mean something. But that is what this does to a large degree, and I do like that. Yeah, I'd like to see Cesaro in that role, too. Though these guys, I didn't think they did bad. They didn't do bad. I mean, like I said, Titus was nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd be good at this. I do think he'd be... Once
he had a couple of moments, yeah, where he was good at it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you've seen it. I think he's one of those guys who's probably a good talker if they could just let the reins loose, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Speaking of which, was it next? What was next?
The fucking strap match.
Oh, it was the strap match.
Savvy
worst Vega match
was
of the night.
Not there, but they had a Caribbean strap match.
Worst match of the night, without question.
Oh, good God. They had a red light and a green light set up at each turnbuckle. And the green light, of course, for Sheamus, the babyface, and the red light for Mark Henry, the heel, who, you're right, you pointed out as we were watching this, that he should have actually been wearing his red Kool-Aid Man thing to make it, you know, seemingly
yeah, otherwise,
the green Sheamus and the black, and the red Henry, and it, but whatever, I mean, you figured out quickly who was what light, but the fucking thing was just talking, they kept talking about, oh, how can they drag each other around, and how hard is it going to be to drag the 400-pound Mark Henry around? Well, the fucking strap was long enough that they didn't need to drag anybody around.
That's the one of the two big issues with the match. There's two big issues with the match why it didn't work. Number one, is the strap was so long that you could be in one corner with a guy and leave him in that corner and walk over to the other corner and still touch it. You don't have to drag him at all. If he's in the middle of the ring, you could walk around and touch all of them.
Yeah.
The strap was so long, it really ruined the psychology and the idea that there's a struggle to get to the corners. The other thing is, I mean, we did see the famous spot where they're both touching the corners at the same time, and so they're both lighting up. But just as Henry was going to go and hit the final corner, he noticed the Sheamuses were lit up too, so he goes and turns and punches them. Then they all turn off, and that was the other thing is, there's no rhyme or reason that's explained to us. Why the fuck the referee will blow off and say
the ref was allowed to wave off the lights, and it was like Sheamus would get to three, and then and then Mark Henry would like hit him, and Sheamus would hit him back or something, and the ref would wave off the lights. So
there was just no rhyme or reason to it.
And it was stupid.
And you're like, why are these being waved off? They shouldn't be waved off until the other guy starts the chain.
Exactly.
And instead they just be waved off all of a sudden out of nowhere, and it made no sense. There was no rhyme or reason to it. Especially since the finish comes where Henry's hitting all of them and then Henry comes up to him and they start punching each other and Sheamus gets the better of him and hits the final turn. And it's like, why is it this time that these don't turn off?
Well, that was it. And I didn't, the only reason I didn't mind that is because that meant that the match was over.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it's like I didn't even blame the guys for this shitty match.
No, you couldn't do
it. It's the situation there was stupid.
Yeah.
And WWE does not know how to do these strap matches well, so they should stop fucking doing
them. They should, yeah. And they don't do them often, luckily, but yeah, they just shouldn't do them at all.
No.
Caitlin and AJ.
Yeah, we weren't sure if they were going to have a match, and then basically AJ said, basically Caitlin came up to AJ because Caitlin was like, I heard you talk to Vicky, and you're too emotionally distraught from what's happened to...
To have the match. And I didn't even know that they announced the match.
And yeah, exactly.
Like,
and
I didn't...
And she's like, oh, it's that you're afraid of me. And basically, it's the two of these two women both acting like heels to each other, bitching and sniping like something out of Beverly Hills Housewife.
The highlight
they
of
ate
this,
them all.
But the highlight of this segment was Tamina Snuka eating a banana.
Yeah, what happened was they get into this little brawl, and they have like... drink containers or something like that falling on them.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
And the Bellas.
This looking stupid. And the Bellas and Tamina Snuka come running out from catering where they've been. And the Bellas, one of the Bellas had an apple, partly eaten. But Tamina also had a fruit, partly eaten.
She had a banana. Oh, you want some bananas? We got you some bananas. You want a coconut? You want to feel like you're at home? You really want coconut? to coconut. It was just the daughter of Jimmy Snuka eating a banana just made me laugh.
Yeah. Other than that,
other than that, and what shit. Would Michael Cole? What did Michael Cole say when? Oh shit! When he announced the Spanish announce team.
Oh yeah, something about Fandango was doing the salsa or something.
Oh, these two guys know how to do. These are two guys that know how to do some salsa dancing. Here's the Spanish announce team. I'm like, yes, thanks, Michael. They're Mexican. Clearly, they know how to Spanish or they know how to salsa dance.
Oh, of course.
It's like how we know how to play hockey.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I do.
I'm Danish. I know how to soccer. Hmm? No, I don't. What?
I like Danishes.
Yeah, they're tasty. Mm-hmm. Cheese Danishes?
Yeah. Where are you from, though?
Dutch.
You're the old Dutch with the windmill pack. Anyway, moving on, we've got Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagga in an I Quit match. This was more just... like, this was coming off of a really shitty strap match. And then we go into the I Quit match where... well, first off, Zeb Coulter talked for eons about how Erwin R. Scheister is auditing people like him.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, yes, wonderful, you got to put some topical bullshit. And nobody cared. And then he's like, the St. Louis Cardinals have a bunch of, like, non-Americans playing for him, and then that got a little bit of heat.
Oh, yeah, when the political stuff that they're bringing up, the relevant stuff that they're bringing up wasn't getting any heat,
yeah.
Then they went to cheap heat.
Yes.
And basically, they tried to wave him off, and he was like, no, I got to get my heat back. So he started talking into that.
Yeah.
And which probably was wise, but it didn't matter as far as the crowd reacting. The crowd didn't give a fuck during the match.
No. And then a
good match, a very stiff match, again, with Jack Swagger in there. I think a good match as far as generally, and the only problem with it was that the issue was it's an I Quit match, and... if the referee hadn't been asking them every 2 seconds if they were going to quit,
yeah.
Especially off of moves that is pretty obvious nobody would quit off of, that kind of took away. Other than that, it was a decent match, but it didn't get the crowd till the finish. The finish it was one of those finishes that when it happened, it's like it's clever, but it's also bullshit, and it may lead to a three-way still. What was the finish, and what do you think?
It was basically the ref wasn't looking. They had and Swagger had Alberto in the ankle lock. And Ricardo had grabbed the towel, a white towel, out of the bucket that he carries.
And for a second, he teased the ring.
He was threatening to throw it in, and Del Rio goes, no, Ricardo, don't throw the towel in or whatever. And then the referee's not looking. He's looking at Del Rio to see if he quits. And Coulter comes up, smacks Rodriguez, and throws the towel in, and then kind of runs away. So it makes it look like Ricardo threw in the towel. So the referee calls for the bell and gives the match to Jack Swagger. And then another referee runs down and says, no, it wasn't him, it was he, da da da. And so they go to a monitor. Mike Chioda asks the timekeeper to get a small monitor there instead of fucking doing it on the giant screen.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they have a Titantron, and yet he goes and gets a TV monitor or something and takes a look. It's very strange.
Yeah. It was, I don't know, stupid. So then they restart the match, and like 45 seconds later, Del Rio beats Swagger.
Yeah, almost immediately Del Rio. But yeah. At that point in time, and this is what I said when they did it, it's like, well, this will probably finally get the crowd into it, because the baby face was really screwed, and then... yeah. And it did. I mean, was really into that end because of how they did it.
To me, it was, again, it was just coming off that strap match. It sucked, and then we had this convoluted deal, and it was like, okay, it's just, again, it's...
And again, I didn't blame the guys. I thought it's the booking. It's the finish is stupid. Yeah. The referee not understanding the psychology of the match.
I hated that whole, like, even JBL's like, when did we start using instant replay? Like, that's always been the case, right?
Yeah.
With instant replay.
But that is the out in case they want to go back to the three-way.
It is. Then we had Hell No against the Shield for tag titles in a Texas tornado match, according to Jerry Lawler.
Well, she got, I'm sure, yelled at because, well, yeah, basically.
He goes, Texas tornado match. Like, he knew as soon as he said Texas that he was going
to
be in shit.
Because you're only supposed to call it a tornado match.
Because he had to finish the sentence.
Which was weird. I had to get used to, actually, a tornado match because we'd just never seen it.
Yeah.
WWE, like, ever. Yeah, it was pretty good. Daniel
was that
Bryan
the best match so far though?
Well, Daniel Bryan was excellent again, is the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think Daniel Bryan's so goddamn good.
So was Rollins was good in this too.
Yeah. Well, the thing is the two times the one time he hit Kane with the knee, but the new finisher the Shield have is the best tag team finisher in years.
Yeah. Rollins puts him up in like a torture rack. And Reigns puts him up in a torture rack, and Seth Rollins comes off the top rope with a knee, and flips him over. It's great. It is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. I'm Daniel Bryan. So this is good. As far as like all the guys have belts now, which is what they want. It's a good visual. It's a question of will they continue to have them win, or now will they need to have them lose to build logical
challengers.
Contenders.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's the big problem with the WWE is you think that you build logical contenders by beating the champions, whereas you should build logical contenders by building up two people in winning streaks, and then the guy who ultimately gets the win over the other is the best man, and that's the man to go on to challenge by beating the other top contenders, the other guys who are kept strong. So enough guys are kept strong, and then when you're obviously the strongest of all those guys, your next logical step is to take on the champion. That's the way you should book it. But instead, they just hotshot and go, fuck, we need somebody to take them on at the next pay-per-view. Have them win an on-title match.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, you know, and that's what I'm worried of here.
Exactly. The lazy booking, is and again, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I look at Ambrose, and I mean, the Shield has been charged with Ryback, who's a top guy. They've been associated with, you know, with Punk and Heyman. They fought, you know, Cena or the Super Dicks, you know. The Sheamus, guys like that is who they've, Big Show, is who they've been in the ring with, right? Team Hell No, even. I mean, this match against Kofi is a step down in terms of profile for Ambrose. And I mean, Hell No, I guess, technically is a bit of a step down, although I could make the argument there because they had Ryback and Hell No at the TLC. But really, now that they're the tag champs and the IC and the U.S. champion, is that, it's a matter of, if you see Ambrose fighting, you know, The Miz and all these guys week after week, it's not going to help, you know, promote the U.S. title. That's going to devalue Ambrose at this point.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a strange thing where WWE has hurt their titles to the point that when you put titles on somebody, instead of elevating them, it actually takes them down.
The only thing that could elevate Ambrose and the title at this point, in my opinion, not the only thing, but the most logical thing to me, is Ambrose feuding for the U.S. title or defending the U.S. title against Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's the guy.
And that's, you know,
That's exactly it. If he successfully defends multiple times. And
this is a feud.
You know what? This is one thing I used to like about WCW. They would have Sting win the world title.
Yeah.
And then they turn around, and when he wasn't winning world title and it was time to put a belt on him, they'd have him win the U.S. title.
Yeah, he'd win U.S. title tournaments all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. They would do it all the time. Even Ric Flair at one point, I believe, won a minor.
He beat Conan.
Yeah, exactly.
For the U.S. title.
Yeah, like it's this is one thing they didn't mind doing. They didn't say, oh, you're above that belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is one thing that WCW used to do better that I think WWF could or WWE could really learn from.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to, again, we talked about it before, and then post-Mania, they put the belt on Kingston. It's time, once again, to turn him heel. I mean, the storyline of being left off WrestleMania was the storyline that should have let him turn a heel.
Yeah.
But you still could, out of this, turn him heel. He needs to turn because he's in the same place and it's boring.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you know, he's not best suited to be Ricky Steamboat and be a babyface his whole life because he's not as respected as Ricky Steamboat. And that was what Ricky Steamboat had.
Yeah.
So he needs to turn heel, and then he needs to change the way he wrestles to, reflect the heel turn.
Yeah.
Can he do that? I think so. But will they do that? I doubt it.
I don't know. They've been talk about turning Kingston. So, I mean, they're at least been...
You know what? Talk is much like your mother. Cheap.
I'm
sorry. Cheap.
Talk is hairy?
Cheap. It's much like you, like Polly. Cheap.
Polly cheap.
Polly wants a cracker.
Cheap?
Cheap, cheap.
Really? I thought you were talking about Paul Heyman.
Oh, Polly. He's cheap. Yes. Paul Heyman is definitely cheap.
Yeah, yeah. He's so cheap he doesn't pay people.
Yeah, exactly. They still like him.
Yes. He's a nice guy. Randy Orton fought the Big Show.
We forgot this was an Extreme Rules match.
We did. Made it better.
Oh, yeah. This match actually had the most gimmicks of any match.
Yeah, it did. It had the ladder, the chairs, and the
I Quit match had a few gimmicks. Ryback and Cena certainly had gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
This match, though, absolutely had the most gimmicks. And, it was pretty good. There's one spot that was crazy.
This, to me, conclusively ends the feud.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why I think Orton can go off to Ambrose.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's another thing, actually. Sheamus won. Clean. Yeah. I don't see where you go from there. Orton won. Clean. It's like the babyfaces won all the clean matches, so who are their next
opponents? Jericho won, yeah.
You know? Like, all the babyfaces are winning, so who do they face next?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's right.
I'd like to see Ambrose and Jericho, too. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think that will happen. But I'd honestly rather see him do that I'd rather see him go Orton, only because I don't think Jericho's around.
Yeah, it could
and be. I don't want to see, like, I don't think Jericho helped Ziggler because it was too short because he wasn't around.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jericho had to go on a longer feud with Ziggler. And he didn't have one. He had, like, what was it, like a month and a half or...
Yeah, that,
right? So, when Jericho comes back, like, finish Orton, hopefully that means Jericho's coming back.
Well, the thing is, though, Orton's also had problems with the Shield. He's been attacked by the Shield.
Exactly.
He's a six-man. He did the WrestleMania. So it's logical that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that made this was, of course, it's Orton's hometown, St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Big pop.
And he was easily the most popular man in the building.
Yes.
Without any question, there was nobody else. Like, if he was a 10, the next person started at about a 7.
7, exactly, yeah.
You know?
The punt.
Well, the punt plus the spot. We never talked about the crazy
spot.
Oh,
the, yes, a Big Show put a ladder across two table, or two chairs, rather, mm-hmm. to prop it up, put Orton on it. Orton moved as Show came off the top rope and did kind of that Vader bomb elbow. Deal and went right through the ladder there, which was didn't look like it tickled.
No, I really, it's one of those things where you go, why is Big Show doing this still at his current point in his career?
Yeah,
you know, he is.
Yeah,
he pretty consistently takes pretty serious bumps for a guy his size, and you know, tenure. So, yeah, but yeah, I mean, it was a better match than I expected. I thought it'd be the worst match in the card. It was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was. Trying to think of, yeah, and it's in it, but it ended with the return of the punt.
Yeah, the band move.
Yeah.
The punt. yeah, I don't think that means we're going to see it again. I think it was just...
To end the feud. I think it's good. I think that's fine. I mean, pull it out once a year, you know, every, you know...
When it needs to be pulled out.
Yeah.
Or even next time you pull it out against an Ambrose, he misses it, gets rolled up for being a pin, could get a pop.
That's right, exactly. You don't have to hit it every time either. No. So that's, I mean, but... yeah, it was being used too much for what it was.
Yeah, for sure.
Then we had the Cena Ryback, the last man standing.
Yeah, I almost don't know what to say about this, because it was a long match. Ryback is not very good, but if you're waiting for him to shit the bed, I wouldn't say he did.
No?
He did all right. They worked their asses off. They did have the gimmicks, and they did brawl all over the arena. They ended up all over the place. But they worked really, really hard. They took a lot of really stiff, painful shots. The problem was neither one of them would sell.
No.
Every time, they would sell when they were hurting, or they would sell when they're both down and getting up. But anytime somebody needed to hit a move, they would stop selling and just do the move.
Well, exactly.
And that's really shitty wrestling.
Yes, it was.
And it was really highlighted by the main event, which we'll get to after, but it really hurt the match for me. And I was like, real shame, because these guys are working their asses off, and the crowd's pretty much enjoying it.
It was
better than I expected.
Yes.
Because my expectations were low. But I think this could have been a very good match that instead is a pretty good match, because anytime they went on offense, both of them... John Cena didn't fucking sold that ankle for like the first 3 minutes of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Never sold it again. And neither one of them sold the beatings they were taking at all when it was time for them to go on offense. And I think that's just, it didn't make it feel like much of a fight. It made it feel like a choreographed, choreographed Hollywood show.
Well, that's right. It, yeah, it was do the move, get up, do the other move, yeah. Get up. And so, they, I mean, they did their match. They did their worked out match. It was just, yeah, for the high impact stuff that they were doing, it just,
I mean, we see, like, you know, Ryback get an AA through the table, get up at the 8 or 9 count.
Yeah.
And then immediately hit a move on John Cena and walk around like he's not hurt.
Yeah.
And that's no good. We see John Cena, like I say, not selling the ankle anytime he had to do anything.
Similar match to the I Quit match, as I said, I mean, we had, you know, nose, you know, quite emphatic nose at the beginning. But as they got going, the nose went, no, you know, like they were, you know, they were selling the effects of not only the move, but the match as a whole. And that's what these guys were doing. They were selling the move. It was like a, it was a video game.
That's it.
You know, you did the
that's
thing,
the problem
and
with
you,
the match.
And you could, you know, you could hit the B button and the A button at the same time rapidly, and you get back up within, you know, 8 seconds or whatever. And that was, that's basically what it is. And, you, and then you're perfectly fine to hit the next move. That's basically what it was. It was a Nintendo game.
Yeah, no, that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a video game for sure.
I mean, it was, but I mean that said, I mean it wasn't horrible. It was just like you said.
What kept it from being a really good match,
yeah,
though.
It did. It did. The finish, they went through the like an LED kind of the set. Basically.
It was an awesome finish.
Yeah,
like,
and
like as soon as you saw it, you went, "Oh fuck!" They haven't done something like that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they used to do that fairly regularly, so it looked cool.
Yeah.
Sparks flying. They go through a set. You can't really see what's going on. The crowd is one we've never seen quite like that before. The crowd seems shocked a little bit, but it worked.
They booed a little bit because it was a no contest, like fuck finish.
Which we had we kind of suspected we were going to see.
Yeah, we kind of speculated, you know, towards the end of the match that, you know, they may just do a double 10 here. And, they might just do a double 10, and that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
It's called
either
a match.
Because I kind of figured these guys will be fighting each other for about 3 pay-per-views, right?
Yeah.
So, and we talked about how they kind of booked themselves in a corner where Ryback couldn't really lose, and Cena couldn't really lose. So this is the way, like, it was a good way to do it. And he gave us a spectacular enough spot. I mean, people will boo a little bit because they're like, oh, fuck, it's over.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't get the feeling people were really pissed about it or anything. Really hurt by when they went to the backstage area, John Cena was lying in a position that nobody who's hurt would ever lie in. That made it, again, look fake. And as soon as it happens, we're like, yeah, well, they're rolling him up. They put the fucking neck brace on him. They put the, you know, they put him on an ambulance. He's being rolled out. They're like, he's really, really hurt, folks. And we turn to each other like, yes, look at me smiling and laughing tomorrow.
Yeah, we
talked
about that.
Well, cut
yeah.
to the post show. And
yes.
What the fuck happened?
The post show, the big news on the post show was that they had footage of the ambulance an ambulance was there. John Cena was being wheeled to the ambulance on the stretcher there. And as soon as, just before they're about to load him up on the stretcher, he like gets the bands off. He's like, no, I'm fine. I just got my... He said, I just had like my bell rung or my egg scrambled or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm fine. And Teddy Long is there, I guess, as the babyface authority figure saying, you know, John, go to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. And
he's like, yeah, I guess I can't make him because John just, he's like, no, just help me to the back. And some guy's helping him to the back.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just do one of them
takes
tests.
Off. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll just get an x-ray. I'll just get an x-ray.
Yeah, I'll just take a test and you guys can clear me and, right? And that was it. And it's like, fuck. So, yeah, so he is literally going to...
Well, the best was... I mean, here's... Like I say, everybody... Then they go back to the announcers. And the announcers are like... You know, the Foley and Tyson and those guys. And they're like, I don't know why he's doing this. This is stupid. So they cut to Cole and... For some comments from Cole and JBL and...
King. There,
King.
Yeah.
And like I say, this is post-show. The crowd has cleared out, you know, and they're still sitting there at the table.
Yeah.
And they want to know what you say, and you know, Cole and JBL's like, this is what makes him such a great champion, but also it's like his greatest strength and his greatest enemy, that stubbornness. And the King has the best line.
Yes, typical John Cena.
Which is exactly what we said.
That whole match, that was typical John Cena.
Everything about that is typical John
yes.
Cena. Typical not selling when you're supposed to, and then the typical finish, oh, we can't actually have him not on Raw. We can't have him actually really, really hurt. He's super seen up. Wow. So he's going to get up and walk out and no-sell. What we sold on the pay-per-view, we're going to no-sell afterwards. And he's going to come out, smile and joke.
They can't tomorrow. Disappoint those 4 million or near 4 million people. I mean, how are they going to get a 2.9 without John Cena?
With anybody else?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's typical John Cena. It's typical WWE. And they're right. This is when people complain about John Cena, this is the type of shit they complain about. It doesn't make him look more realistic or more tough that he walks out on going to the hospital. In fact, it looks stupid.
Yeah.
He just looks like a moron. But it's typical John Cena.
It's a typical, yeah.
Yeah, so the King said it right.
He did. Then we go to the main event.
Yeah, the main event.
The main event, Brock and Hunter in a cage, a new specially reinforced 16-foot high. They added a foot to it. Cage, it was...
Well, that explains why nobody went off the top. Too high now.
Too high, yeah. Silver and shiny.
Yeah.
To me, as I said, it looked like that cage that they used for the barbed wire cage with JBL and Big Show that one time. They just didn't have the barbed wire on the top. And I think that cage was maybe black, and they just painted it silver. But maybe. It looked like the same kind of style to that.
But yeah, new cage... it needed to be reinforced because very early on.
Oh God!
You know, if it hadn't been reinforced, I'm pretty sure it wasn't actually reinforced because Hunter went flying into it, like jumped up, and he was about 6 feet off the ground, and you know, at his side, and hit that thing hard.
Oh, and
cheese and it shook, and I thought it broke.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I thought they reinforced this fucker, and you're like, they did, and thank God because, and then he did it on the other side, and nearly broke there too.
It nearly broke, and then he slid down, like I said, yeah. like cheese grated his back, Hunter.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, and even Brock went into it a few times, like, just...
Well, one time with his knee, which was the story of the match. He jumped in and went for a knee to the face, and Hunter moved. And again, he was about 8 feet up or something, you know, running, jumping, and he hit it hard directly to his knee.
Thing is with Lesnar, and this has always been the knock on Lesnar, and I mean, he's an intimidating guy, and he's got a presence about him, and just a quiet charisma, and got that tough kind of vibe to him.
Legit.
But I mean, but he can't work. I mean, he ran his knee into the thing, and then how many, he spent a good 30 seconds writhing on the ground, holding his knee, saying, "My knee, Paul, my knee." And, I mean, he should have been up doing moves.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler.
He doesn't know how to work. He proceeded to sell his knee injury for the remaining 20 minutes of the match.
And not do moves.
And have to struggle through the pain.
Oh, wow.
Totally seeming, it seemed totally realistic.
God, you imagine
he can't fucking work.
Well, the thing is, it's a good thing Lesnar only works like four times a year, three, four times a year, because... Like, if he influences people and other people started doing this, could you imagine? Just, it would be chaos.
No. And he's not like Chris Benoit with Hunter. He can't be taught how to work.
That's right. He can't be carried to a good match.
No. Taught how to work.
No.
He has potential. Right. Like Triple H said Hunter did after he had his match with him.
Kid can be carried. You know.
Oh.
Fuck. But it's just...
Anyways,
Lesnar did a great job.
Obviously, we're being sarcastic, and Lesnar in this did everything that Ryback and really highlighted how shitty Ryback and Cena were in their psychology and understanding how to put on a match.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this was a better match; it wasn't. It had the limitation of not being able to leave that cage. It was fair. It was exactly what it needed to be. It was probably maybe the best of the three matches. That to me, that's not saying much. Though I didn't mind the Mania match.
Well, the Mania match had a lot more, a lot more of the gimmicks and such, but the Mania match had the fact that Brock legitimately was knocked out, you know, 2 minutes into the match.
Yeah, so, he did, he knocked out, came to again, was, you know, wonky for the rest of the match.
Problem to me with this match, only one Kimura.
and not on for that long.
Yeah.
No, I mean, really, a good match again, and really... Good job, like we say. John's, we're being sarcastic, but this is Lesnar doing everything that just making the other guys look stupid.
Oh, just
great
selling,
job selling that.
My knee, Paul, and
the rest of the match, he limped the whole thing.
Yeah, he did. He did there the F5 on one foot.
Yeah, every time he had to do any move, he'd do the F5, or even if he's just lifting him up you know, for a body slam or whatever, he was still selling the knee. There was never a point where he stopped selling it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, I'm selling it, now I do my move, and now I'll sell again. It was...
Yeah, straight sell. Even when awesome. He was doing his moves, he was selling. Yeah, it was great. And
a good match, and he won. You know,
F5, made it, clean.
Yeah, they made it so that, you know, he won. He was looking like he was going to lose, and Paul Heyman got involved, basically. And
well, the story they played on the post show as well is one that Hunter had a sledgehammer hidden up at the top, a silver spray painted silver sledgehammer to match the cage,
yeah.
Hidden at the top of the cage, and he grabbed it and he used it a couple of times, and then towards the finish he was going to use it again, and Heyman came from behind and gave him like that China Ric Flair low blow.
Yeah, after he had been pedigreed earlier.
Yes, yeah.
Because he was in the ring, he had thrown a chair in, he was in the
yeah.
ring.
And then yeah. To which Lesnar, as he was struggling to defeat, goes, "That's my manager." Hunter's sledgehammer, because then Brock hit him with the sledgehammer, then hit him with the F5, and the story they were telling was, of course, you live by the sledgehammer, you die by the sledgehammer, and they're just talking about how he brought it in and it backfired on him.
Yeah, basically, yeah, exactly. You live by the sword, you die by the sword, type deal.
Which, again, if you want to do another Hunter...
Well, I don't want to see it. This is what Mick Foley said. Oh, he needs... Oh. If Hunter has somebody out there to...
Shawn Michaels, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If he has Shawn Michaels out there...
Wasn't Shawn there... Was he there at WrestleMania?
No.
What happened with that? Was he supposed to be?
No, maybe he was.
Well, didn't he say he was going to be there to watch your back?
I thought he was just going to be there to watch Paul... Or watch Lesnar lose.
Maybe.
I don't remember him being there.
But I thought that was... I mean, that had been talked about for Mania. Maybe it just never came to be.
This was 6 weeks ago. We can't remember this.
So I know, right? Isn't that amazing? It's good build. anyway, I mean, you could use Shawn in his corner, whatever.
But that's the whole thing is that, yeah, if he had somebody to... If he had somebody there to... neutralize
yeah.
Paul Heyman.
Kevin Nash or Shawn or somebody, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of what that's what Foley said. To me, this is far from over, and if he does that, and I'm like, fuck no. Like, this to me is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H is kept strong, made to look like he would have won if it wasn't for Paul, and Lesnar still won, so Lesnar can go on to somebody new and look like the badass, and when we bring back Triple H, he still has some.
We should note that they did try to do the same thing they tried at SummerSlam, with the, you know, Hunter with the music off, trying to get the
well,
the,
Hunter the was selling clap. Was selling how, because like, he was selling he was knocked out by the sledgehammer.
Yeah,
then
very
took
well.
The big five. Great job selling. He really looked like he was out of it. Lesnar limped the whole way out of the ring, up the ramp. He never stopped limping, left, and then it was, yeah, Triple H in the ring, and you're waiting for them, and they're showing replays, and you're waiting for them. They're obviously stalling.
They're trying to get the respect pop.
That's what they're trying to get, and
they
didn't work.
No.
Like, you started to get a smattering of it.
And they went to his music, yeah.
Because it wasn't loud enough. Yeah. It wasn't working. So, because he just, like you say, doesn't have that special connection with the fans.
He doesn't have that respect. Yeah. That's basically it. Is
people
it,
like him, but it's not that special.
But they don't respect. Yeah, they don't have that. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the Big Show.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, Big Show, yeah, cool. I like him.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't have that connection with the Big Show, right?
No.
So, it's... But that's it. That's the... That's a pay-per-view, what do we say, 6.5, 7 out of 10?
No, probably 7. I go 7.
7 out of 10.
I think it was a good show. Like I say, better than WrestleMania, which is about a 6, right? So
exactly,
so
yeah.
Not special, nothing that doesn't have that great match,
you
not as good as
last year. You go out of your way to see this.
But it was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I purchased it.
If you see it, you'll enjoy it.
For the price I pay, I'm glad I bought it.
Exactly. Yeah, you get it for 50%, so it's definitely
50%
worth,
off, yeah.
It's worth that for sure. But yeah, I said, I mean, if you see it, great. I think you'll enjoy it if you're a wrestling fan. But there's nothing, like, there's no thing you gotta, I mean, the biggest thing to me, the thing that pops me to say you gotta go back and see this is Tamina Snuka eating a banana.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. So what are we gonna see on Raw tomorrow?
John Cena is gonna come out and just start telling jokes about how he had a no contest with Ryback.
Yes, he will.
Because the next pay-per-view is June 16th, so we got, what, 3 weeks to build.
That's
right?
It, eh?
We got three Raws, I think. Three Raws to build it, maybe four? Roz, to build it, let me get my little calendar on my phone here. To build it, I got one, two, tomorrow, then the one in Calgary that we're going to be going to. And then, okay, three, four. So we got four Roz to build it.
It's not this one. It's not this Monday. Not tomorrow we're going, right?
No, we're going a week from tomorrow. And then a week from this Thursday, we've got Mick Foley, comedy, stand-up
comedy. That's right.
So it's going to be great.
We'll tell you all about that too, folks.
Yes, but yeah, we got Raw on the 27th. So Raw, so we've got, yeah, really, well, after this, we'll probably just get the whole deal. So really, they're going to build for three Raws, right?
Yeah.
Because
they got to build quickly.
They do.
Which is, I guess, why they can't have Cena.
The pay-per-view is called Payback.
Yeah.
So,
And then the commercial was focused on Randy Orton remember who you were and all the pain you went through.
It's in Chicago. So I mean, CM Punk would be an obvious return, especially.
The question is that where he returns for a promo, or is that where he returns for a match? I think a match, but again, I don't know who. Like, this is where, do we see CM Punk tomorrow? Do we see just Heyman talking about him? Do we see Lesnar tomorrow?
Yeah,
I don't think we see Lesnar tomorrow.
I don't think so.
And
either.
What I like about the knee injury is they can say that's why he's gone for several months.
My client Brock Lesnar. The thing is with Heyman is we keep Heyman on TV, right?
Yeah.
And if Punk is going babyface,
or Lesnar's going babyface, though I don't think either one. But actually, I think Punk is. Actually, I don't know.
But then what do you do with Paul Heyman? Because he has to have another person to go against Punk, I would think. Then, because that would be, to me.
Well, who on the roster would you look at and think is best person to be managed by Paul Heyman right now?
The guy that stands out to me that could use there's two, actually. Elevation that could be realistically elevated, and really, unfortunately, one gets a nod because he doesn't have a belt, and that's Antonio Cesaro, whereas you could also see Wade Barrett, but again, for the Intercontinental title, you're not fighting Punk, right? So
I don't see the one of those being a guy. Like, I see him with, like, I think if you brought in Mark Henry, if you made Mark Henry coming off his loss to Sheamus, going with him, I think that could work. The other guy for me is you dump Coulter and you put Swagger with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the two I look at.
Yeah. I see.
I think the idea of Swagger and Lesnar as a team is, you know, yeah.
Do you bring back? You know, is this where you could get Shelton Benjamin come back?
Yeah, I think that would be great. Actually,
I mean,
the Minnesota Stretching Crew.
The Minnesota Stretching Crew. So you could just do, you know, if Punk's going, then again, you could have Punk run through Shelton on his way to Brock.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I don't think that would hurt Shelton anyways.
No,
you know, being first back in that. Yeah, so
exactly. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Or what about a heel Christian? Christian's ready to come back.
I don't see him with Heyman.
Just, you know, trying to throw guys here. You know, like, Christian's been ready to come back for a while, and they're going to find something to do with him. Does Christian fight Dean Ambrose?
Christian would be awesome with
Dean
Ambrose.
You know, that's that other
Christian,
one. Or
Christian finds a partner and goes against, he'd be awesome either way.
Yeah.
I like either one, yeah. Yeah, and that's fresh stuff. I like that. Yeah, I mean, Christian Punk, we never saw. So actually, that would work, because remember, Punk put him out. It was like a year ago. But you can show the highlights from it.
Yeah.
Because it was a work thing.
Yeah.
But like a year ago, he injured in storyline an already injured Christian.
Battle of the Rock music. Christian versus Punk.
But I think you could easily pull that off. I do think that Punk's coming back babyface, though. I get that feeling.
I could see. I think he'll get cheered in Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
That is, in fact, when he's coming back. I think his first return will be a pop.
Well, yeah, he's good enough on the mic. He could turn them if he wanted to.
Of course.
But I don't think he is. The way he left, it doesn't seem to me like he comes back. You know? Like, it's everything about it screamed babyface to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything about it screamed Paul being upset. You know?
Yeah.
And it ultimately leads to, it to me is their backup. If Rock can't go, then Lesnar, Punk at Mania next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what else. Like, I don't know where you go with a Sheamus. I think Sheamus Henry keeps going, based on how this went.
It could. I mean, it was just a strap match, right? So I unfortunately called payback.
Unfortunately, you're yawning.
Payback, though, a pay per view called.
Not much sleep or
payback? No, no, I didn't.
You were drinking last night, right?
I was drinking.
Yeah.
Drinking.
I'm going to drink right now. Excuse me.
Yeah, all right. Well, the thing called payback, to me, gives me rematches.
Well, yeah. Which, fuck, that'd be something new. Like, that's a good idea for a pay-per-view. If they chose to have rematches on their pay-per-view.
I know, right? Like,
just that'd be great.
But I think the title payback, that's kind of what I think of.
No,
right?
Of course, yeah.
So
you want to get revenge, right?
Is, yeah. So, I mean, you could do things like, and I mean, a lot is, I don't know about I mean, you could do, if Jericho's back again, you get a rubber match with Fandango. You've got Henry and Sheamus. Sure, it was a strap match. You could have the conclusive kind of whatever.
The only match that felt to me like I guarantee finish of a feud
Big Show.
Was Big Show.
Yeah, the punt, yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Everything else could definitely see rematches. That's
mm-hmm. And, well, I don't know about, I mean, you're not going to see Hunter and Brock in a rematch, but I think you're definitely going to see Cena and Ryback in a rematch.
Well, Cena and Ryback, I pictured that for 3 pay-per-views. Right, yeah. From the beginning. Same thing, you know, and I don't know what gimmick you go to, but I don't think you can have a bunch of straight matches if you're doing rematches. You can have a couple.
Could you have bunch of gay matches? But I think,
will Pat Patterson do the booking?
Yes. Even that's why Tamina Snuka was eating a banana.
She was gonna go banana.
She was going banana.
No, I was like, when was the last time we saw Tamina Snuka on TV?
I know, right? Happy, like, she's getting a paper.
Like, why the fuck is she got a pay-per-view payoff for that?
She's going to get a pay-per-view payoff and some residuals for the 8 people that buy the DVD.
Oh, shit. If you look at everything, I think Team Hell No versus The Shield in a rematch, and Kofi.
Yeah.
I think Kofi versus Ambrose happens on Raw or SmackDown for the rematch. But I think same with Team Hell No, you know. But I could see those at the pay-per-view. Like, almost everything could be a rematch.
Yeah.
Outside of Hunter versus Lesnar.
Yeah.
And
Big Show and Orton, I think.
Yeah.
In that case, well, and then instead, then you got the three-way, so you can add Ziggler
and
into that, right?
I kind of think with that punt, it's possible you see Big Show gone for a while.
That could be, yeah. I mean, you could, yeah, for sure. Even if it's to miss the next pay-per-view and get ready to come back for a SummerSlam or something.
Exactly.
Right?
So I could see that.
Here's my kind of thought, is that Show is gone for a while, a couple months.
Yeah.
Comes back as a babyface, and at SummerSlam goes against Antonio Cesaro. I mean, the visual of the neutralizer on the Big Show, which I bet you he can do. If he can do it to Kali, you know, and Show's a lot more cooperative than Kali would be.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that would be a visual. The only difference now
Kali,
is...
Kali, by the way, every time he's on TV now, the highlight of the week.
Oh, fuck. Hi, Stooge.
That was so awesome.
I'm Rey Mysterio.
Or just him dancing with Fandango.
I'm better than him. Yeah. Oh, giving the love advice to you. You just gotta relax.
Yeah.
How mellow, so, like me.
So odd. Like, as a comedy character, he fucking works.
He does.
He's awesome.
Well, and it took him fucking long enough to figure that out. That's what he's been doing in the movies for how long?
Yeah, exactly.
Christ. But it, I don't know. Of course, now the Antonio Cesaro... he's boring.
Well, that's their opinion.
That is. That's why he's his push is gone.
Yeah.
Or is it he's boring? So I don't.
And that's why they tried to make him yodel. They tried to put a little color in him.
Then he said he was going to be a. I think I would almost, and I bet you I say that that promo that he cut. I bet you they told him to go cut the promo. The one he put the W in WWE.
Oh, you don't think they wrote that for him?
I think they told him to go and cut, just after the match, cut
see
a promo to see what he's got, and then they determined he was boring.
I thought it was a good promo. Not great.
So did I, but I bet you that's what it was. I put the W in WWE. And
Not what they want.
Yeah, and I think that's what killed them. I do. I think that was what.
But then again, they did make a top 10 on it, and the paper on the.
On their fucking internet mark site.
Who gives
site,
a fuck, yeah. And I don't, nobody doing that site pays attention to what's happening in the actual company, so.
No, exactly. Well, and they're just. Guys need to fill stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, here's an easy thing. So, yeah, it's. I don't know. The thing is right now, they've got a lot of guys, a lot of talent, but they don't have any in that should take off position. That next position. I mean, the Shield is probably the closest thing. And the
Shield is the closest thing.
Yeah. And
up until this Monday, they've been booked great. And then, you know, the 3-on-1 was seen the way that was done.
As I said, time is going to tell, but I think when you're talking about how did they give up on Fandango, I see that. I more see that for the Shield. The summer of erosion of the Shield is kind of what I hope doesn't happen, but is what I'm fearing. Is it come Night of Champions in September that it ain't going to be pretty for the Shield?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I don't know. I don't think that.
I don't know, but I get that.
You know what? It's possible.
It's a
That's it again. That's just how.
I don't think they're doing it on purpose, though, is the thing. I think they think it's a good thing that they're giving them all the titles here. I just think that it's going to end up being that they're fighting. You're going to end up fighting mid-card after mid-card after mid-card, and then it's going to just end up being.
And you
these
keep
guys
on losing
mid-card.
In on-title matches.
Yeah.
To build contenders.
These
and,
guys
and,
are just.
And because of. Yeah, exactly.
And then they're going to listen
really,
to them and say these guys aren't any more over than the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just it. The reason that these guys are over is the same way Ryback was over, was because the wins and the losses.
Ryback was never as over as his push, though. These guys have been as over as their push.
Yeah, they have. They have.
Ryback was not out. I mean, Ryback pushed one number that was curiosity.
Yes, because of the way he was booked.
Yeah.
Because of
that.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And they got away from this bullshit 50-50 parody booking.
Yeah.
And it worked. And so that's what they have to do. That seems to be what they're afraid to do, is they're afraid to pick a guy or guys and just go with them.
Well, yeah.
And they're...
Well, again, they give up on people so easy.
Well, that's what it is. They change their mind, they give up, and then it's
like
a, new
say,
guy,
the,
a new
the
guy.
The fact they
guy,
didn't just, give up on Ryback when he didn't get over his push
yeah.
was incredible. And thank God for them they didn't. Because he's not obviously Steve Austin here.
No.
But at least he means something.
He does.
And that's because they didn't give up on him when
yeah.
they could have.
That's right. And they didn't. And again, they as shittily as. I mean, hell, they gave up on CM Punk, and the only reason that they kept him going was because of the thing with The Rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, towards the end of his run there, the last, like, 3 months of his run, you know they wanted to end it.
Oh, yeah.
But they just couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what was happening. So it's. I don't know. That's what they need to do is
everything really comes down to a lack of trust in their ability to book.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, because they're booking, they're hot-shotting by week, they don't have any long-term plans, the people in charge are not rustling people necessarily, making a lot of the decisions and creative, and there's too many of them.
Yeah. Oh.
So you got all these problems. And so it's difficult. Like I say, I mean, I was looking at this card. You asked me if we're going to watch this. I was like, basically, my response was, this is a long weekend for us.
Yeah.
I get 50% off, and it's a good card with shitty booking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'll order.
And you mentioned a lot of beer you had.
Yeah, I have quite a bit.
And hard iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. It's
a lot of freezer.
That's what I was looking at. It's like, this is a solid deal. There's nothing that was
whiskey.
I was clamoring to see. But whatever Brock Lesnar's
one
on.
Beer. Two beer?
Two. Bears, what?
Shot of whiskey?
Whiskey.
Shot of rum?
Man, a little bit more bear. But I think that whenever time Brock Lesnar's on is somewhat of a factor, a curiosity factor. But
we won't see him for a while here, though.
Exactly, right? So, and that's good. I mean, at least this is the first Brock where
we've... sort of.
This is the first time that we've seen Brock within 6 weeks, though. You know?
Yeah.
Last time he came back... after Mania, and last Extreme Rules was his first match, and then not till SummerSlam, and then not till Mania. So we had a long stretch. This is the first back-to-back Lesnar, essentially.
Yeah.
And so that'll be.
Let's assume that the way that Lesnar and Triple H is done, that it's over. You know, you had three matches, and he won the, you know, the heel. Lesnar wins the rubber match, and we don't see him till SummerSlam or till, you know, a month out from SummerSlam, which isn't that long away.
The problem with Hunter is that Hunter...
So tried, basically, we don't see him for 2 months here.
Hunter tried to do the retirement deal, and last time, after SummerSlam, had to do that speech, right? The thank you, Hunter speech.
Oh, and I think he's going to try that again tomorrow.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it's going to mean shit because he just did it. It's the same as...
Well, it meant shit before.
But now they're talking about when Cena had the match, you know, with his... if he doesn't win, he's fired, or whatever it was that happened that he did. And it was like, well, big deal. He did that against Freed or fired against Nexus and was back the next day. So nobody gave a shit.
No.
Exactly. You know, and this is the same thing. You know, I bet you're right that Hunter's going to come out and do the whole, you know, the sledgehammer and beat me in my own. I'm the game, but I was beaten by my own game last night. And I don't know if this is still for me. I got to go back and sit and wonder and contemplate whether, you know, whether it's got to me, if I still got it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that was all the same shit he did in whatever it was. Early September, right?
He put him over much more... Actually, SummerSlam, he put him over much more cleanly than he did tonight.
But at least it was the F5.
Yeah, but it was... Heyman got involved.
Yeah.
And he got hit with a clutch. Like, at SummerSlam, he was beat because he just couldn't beat him. You know, he was Kimura'd.
Yeah.
Hurt, and he lost.
Arm broken again for a second time.
Yeah, exactly. It was a much more clean win.
It was, yeah, you're right.
But like I say, I don't think anybody thinks Triple H is going away permanently. Not yet. He'll do some speech, I guess, probably. Who knows? Probably tomorrow, because I don't see him doing it in Calgary, and I don't see them waiting too long. And he's certainly not going to do it on SmackDown.
No.
From Calgary now is the Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
Yes.
Which is being
officially,
announced.
Officially, I guess.
Yeah, officially. That's interesting.
Shawn Michaels is going to be there.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels.
Really, I mean, we talk about, you asked me what happens tomorrow on Raw. It's like, it's not even that we're going to, that's not even because we're going to Raw in Calgary here, but it's more like I'm kind of overlooking it because it's going to be the Bret Hart Appreciation Night. And, you know, do you get, you know.
How do they do it? Will it be on TV?
Jericho.
Will they just tease it on TV and then have it after?
I don't know.
Who's going to be out there? What surprises will be out there? Shawn Michaels will be, for the first time since the screw job, cheered in Calgary.
Probably, yeah.
Won't get the used to Bret. He probably will still get some.
Yeah, he'll still get some.
But it'll be a joke.
Yeah. But did you? Last time they did it was JR Appreciation.
Yeah.
And they did it after, but they talked about it during because that Punk come out.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
And slapped around JR or whatever. So I don't see. I mean, Bret just had a knee surgery, pretty major knee surgery.
Oh, when I saw him at the Calgary convention, he was limping bad.
Yeah.
Moving bad.
So he isn't going to, be taking bumps or doing anything, you know? So, not to do it anyway, but, you know, he's not going to do really anything physical at all, I wouldn't think. So, it'd be tough to, again, you got 3 hours, though.
That's the thing.
I mean, and, you know, here's the thing. And here's the last minute, it's done after the show type poll is, you know, will Bret Hart Appreciation Night ceremony, you know, hold viewers? And they don't really have any viewers to begin with, let alone any viewers that are left over from the Bret Hart era.
Well, it's funny, you know, these things historically actually do pretty well when they do something like that.
But I guess it'll depend on the hype they do tomorrow for it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't announce it, you're not going to get any viewers, right?
No.
But, so you'd have to kind of give it a bit of a week of some hype with it. But, yeah.
What kind of crowd are we going to see here? Like, how full is the building going to be?
Almost 2 years. August of 2011.
Yeah, it was the SmackDown, which was about 7,500.
Yeah. But then...
And they hold about... Holds about 14?
14, 15, yeah.
For Raw?
With the top part taped off, yeah, probably about 14, 15.
Yeah.
I could see a pretty sold-out Raw crowd here.
You think so?
Pretty close, yeah. I mean, business has been up, overall. I think, again, not being around for 2 years with the absence making the heart grow fonder type deal, that, yeah.
Well, a couple, you know, what was it, a couple thousand or whatever at the first Heart of Legacy Wrestling is a good sign.
Yeah,
we'll see.
For Bret Hart, if they're locally advertised, and maybe, I bet you that Heart, I bet you that Heart Legacy Wrestling attendance was a big sort of driver for Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
You know what I mean? Like, I could see that, too. So, you know, I'm sure Lance will be backstage. I don't know if he'll come out.
Well, I'm sure he'll have a student get a tryout or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Jericho, you know, will be there for that. You know, you have Natalya there. I'm sure Tyson Kidd will crutch out on it, right, and be there.
Most likely, yeah.
So you've got some guys. I mean, you could bring. I mean,
but what about other members of the Hart family? Yeah, will you see a Keith Hart, a Bruce Hart, Ross Hart?
Well, they all did Mania for their dad. So I mean.
You heard the interview I had with Brett a couple weeks ago, what he said about Bruce.
Well, yes.
I don't see Bruce Hart being there, but I see WWE saying, oh, we're going to bring in all your family. We'll bring in Keith and Bruce, and him going, you know, I don't want Bruce there.
Yeah.
Well, like, I seriously see that. But yeah. Who knows? Maybe.
But, I mean, Keith is always, you know, there, and Wayne and Ron. I mean, yeah, some of them will be there. I mean, like Diana.
His kids will probably be there. And
yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean,
I don't know if Diana will be there. She lives in Florida now, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, stop. Don't,
his daughter,
please, dog, don't bark.
His daughter.
Please, don't bark. I know they're assholes out there. They all are.
Yeah.
But they're assholes in here, too. Well, one of us is.
You are, yeah. Yeah. I have New Year's resolution, so.
Yeah.
We're almost a halfway through the year for that.
And you have not once been an asshole?
Not once been an
asshole.
Tell
the truth. Not even once?
Not even once. It's, you know, it's tremendous, but.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
I think that it's been tough, but you know, we persevered, and I'd have to thank everybody that supported me, even you fat fuck. I think that getting back to Bret Hart Appreciation Night, because that's the topic at hand, is that Bret Hart's daughter was going to be there, but she found out that John Morrison wasn't.
So she didn't bother. Apparently, he's another guy talking about. They had an article on him on WWE.com right now talking about what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so some people speculating that's opening the door for him coming back.
Right.
I'd love to see. I think they could use him right now.
They could, yeah.
I could think they could definitely use him right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think you bring him back and you keep the belt on Ziggler. I think you could have him versus Ziggler at a pay-per-view B-show main event for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Semi-main,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Payback.
And, people,
type
and
level,
I think you'd
right?
have a really great match.
Definitely.
Something like that, I mean, I'd love to see.
Oh, yeah. But I'm trying to think of what else. I just wanted to, Bret Hart Appreciation is probably all we've got to say about it, eh?
Pretty much. Like I said, we don't really know what to expect. So I think probably, I'll just say it right now, probably what we'll do here is this is Sunday night.
Yeah.
We have the live audio commentary we're going to put up probably Thursday. And then we'll record, we'll go to Raw next Monday.
The following Monday, yeah.
And what we'll do is we'll probably record a post-show just on the way home, just a, you know, a quick thing to talk about live event and the show. So that'll be a short show. But then we'll do the same thing after we see Foley. So it'll probably be two shorter shows next week. So there'll be plenty of content. Or, I'm sorry, plenty of, what's the right word?
Of audio.
Audio. That we'll be put up, because I know how much you hate that word.
That would be the following week, though, right? Not this coming week.
Well, no, over the next 2 weeks, including this show.
Yes, yes.
So we won't do a live show Thursday, I don't think.
Like we might. We haven't done one. Depends on what there is. Depends on what happens.
With the live audio commentary, I'm just saying, and with us doing Raw. But who knows? If something, if Raw is good enough.
Well, you're not working.
I said it's true. I'm not working that Thursday.
So.
Or Friday.
Yeah.
So what the fuck?
So that's what I'm saying.
You call in sick and we'll fucking do more live audio commentary. We got lots of audio that we want to record over.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Do we ever.
Do we ever, if we ever get around to it.
Yeah. Well, you're already around. But I'm thinking...
Yeah, but you're ugly. And I could dye it.
What?
I don't know.
I wish you'd dye.
It?
You need more bacon in your diet.
Yeah, if we just could have had some bacon tonight, that would be great.
But I think... I'm just, with this whole Raw, and I don't know, it's depends on, again, if CM Punk does come back, then, you know, could be some some stuff to talk about there. But
We'll see how it goes.
But moving, I guess, away from that, they did have some developmental cuts.
Oh, did they? I didn't even see.
Yeah, there were like 7 guys.
Well, that's pretty few.
From developmental. I'm trying to think of.
They've been adding a lot of talent lately.
They have. Sakamoto.
Really?
He got, yes, he was.
Interesting.
Cut. I'm trying to think of.
He was, of course, with Tensai.
Yeah.
And as being in developmental, and he actually had a really good entrance and looked to me like he had a good presence and charisma. His work actually wasn't that good. But I did not see that coming, actually.
No. Diva Audrey Marie was let go from NXT. Derek Bateman.
Really?
Was let go. From there, I'm just trying to
remember. He was on NXT, or... Yeah, he was on... What's he on?
He was on NXT.
Not NXT.
He was on the never-ending NXT.
Yeah, that's right. He was one of
when
the...
When we were, like, 2 years ago, when SmackDown came to Calgary, he was part of that... That was it as well. But he was...
You're looking them up now? Because your memory is...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who the rest of them were. Oh, and I spelled cut wrong. I spelled it kit.
Oh, that won't work.
No.
You'll get a car from Knight Rider.
No, K-I-T.
Yeah, they'll still find Knight Rider.
Or C-U-T.
Because wasn't his evil twin car called Kit with a C?
Was it?
I thought so. Remember that? Remember you had the evil twin?
No, obviously I don't.
There was an evil...
I don't remember the WWE wrestlers that got released on Thursday.
Yeah, but if I ask you who held the belt on August 12th, 1993, the world title, you can tell me?
Yes, I could. Sorry, what was the question? It was who held the world what?
Who August 12th, 1993. Who would have held the WWE Championship?
Yokozuna.
There you go. See? Yeah,
without hesitation. Although I knew there was some more fucking surprises here. So, Derek Bateman, Sakamoto,
mm-hmm.
Audrey Marie,
mm-hmm.
Percy Watson.
Oh, he's been there forever. So
yeah, he was in that.
So, you know what? If they weren't going to... He was in, one of the second or third season of
I think the same one as Titus O'Neil
and
Husky Harris and Daniel Bryan, or Husky Harris. And,
So again, if you're not going to bring him up by now, you're never going to, obviously.
No, that's right.
But he had a lot of charisma, but again, he's somebody who just could never figure out how to work, but he was a very... he had a lot of charisma.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Diva Anya.
No
idea who that is.
Idea, no.
There was another guy, Brandon Traven.
Well, speaking of divas, Summer Rae looked fantastic tonight.
Oh God, did she ever! What is it?
Brandon Traven?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I do. No loss.
The other one that I thought was a big surprise, Riley Pierce. The brother of Dolph Ziggler.
Real-life brother, really?
Real-life brother.
I didn't even know he was down there.
Yeah. He was an interviewer, and he just started to get...
How long has he been down there?
He was down there for a while as an interviewer, as I said, and then...
Yeah.
He just started working in the ring.
Does he have a legitimate sports background like Ziggler?
He's hilarious, apparently. He's, like, one of the most entertaining people, apparently, they have.
Yeah, but...
Personality-wise.
Could he work?
Well, I don't know.
Did he have the athleticism of Ziggler? Was he a university standout? Or,
I don't think so, no. I just think he was a comedy guy.
Okay.
It said Pierce, who is the brother of Dolph Ziggler, stated on his Twitter account, "I guarantee... that was the funniest and most entertaining your release phone call in WWE history. Bye, everybody."
Oh, he probably... It doesn't sound like he's coming back then.
No. But, that's... he was a Harley Race trainee, was that Travern.
Okay.
But,
Was that it?
But that's it. That's the 7 people that they released, so... again, not a huge
loss. Nobody that's really often on NXT or anything, so.
Which?
nobody that's really often on NXT, really.
I think they all are, actually. Bateman was hurt, but he's been on NXT quite regularly. Pierce had been, as an announcer there. Sakamoto had been starting to get
Sakamoto had been on.
And Audrey Marie had been as well, as a diva there. So, those are all people that...
not the people, though, that feels like to me are being pushed on NXT.
No, they're not.
They're
right.
People that I think of as the stars of NXT.
Percy Watson hadn't been on in a long time. Again, no. Yeah, they were fillers.
Your Conor O'Brien is one of the stars of NXT.
Yes.
You're obviously Big E.
And ironically, Conor O'Brien next week, or I think this past week on NXT, beat Briley Pierce and Sakamoto in a handicap match.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Summer Rae, what's her name, the anti-diva, Paige.
Paige, yeah.
Obviously, Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
Neville.
Adrian Neville, yeah.
Adrian Neville, sorry. That's a different guy.
Yeah.
Bret Hart's friend. Adrian Neville and Bo Rotunda, the currently turning heel Bo Rotunda.
Yes, yes.
Which I like, and I think that might suit him. To me, he has that smarmy
that Joker almost look.
Yeah,
like, you know?
So I think he'll be better. He didn't take off as a babyface, certainly when we brought him up. I know he works as a babyface style, but he's always been a babyface. But
Aaron Neville
basically
is
what they're doing with Bo Rotunda, if you're wondering, he went down to NXT after being in the Royal Rumble and after beating Wade Barrett, and they just dropped all that. What they're doing is he's so cocky and confident. He thinks he's better than everybody because he was in the Royal Rumble, because he's being up to the show.
Yes.
Is the gimmick, and I think that'll serve him well and maybe get him back to the main roster.
I hope so, yeah. I'm trying to think of who else has kind of pushed in, obviously Big E, Corey Graves is another
Corey
guy.
Graves is another one, yeah.
Yeah,
and and Cassius Ohno.
Yes, that's also. Yeah.
He's turned babyface over the last couple of weeks here. And again, I look at him and I like, he should get up. He's got everything. He can talk. He can wrestle. He's got a unique look. But he's too skinny fat for them to ever put him up.
Yeah.
There was a point where he was in better shape than he is right now.
Yeah.
But he's regressed as far as he just doesn't have good genetics. If he's going to be clean, this is what he's going to look like. And his body's much like CM Punk's, but a little more legit skinny fat.
Yes, yes.
And so I wonder if we'll ever see him. I wonder if that'll keep him away.
I don't know. I think the other thing with them is that they've been more selective about calling people up. They've been taking longer to do that and kind of, you know.
Well, if we don't have something for you, why the fuck bother?
Well, that's just it. And that's a good thing. It's just the only thing about it is that I wish they would. The problem with it is that when creative sucks, they don't have anything for people because they're not good.
But the few times they have brought people up,
that's what I mean. It has. I mean, you look at the Shield and Big E Langston are the last two call-ups, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they didn't have anything for Big E except for you're going to be the bodyguard. We're going to put you next to this guy who's one of our, often on TV guys. We don't have an angle for you, but you'll have a presence and you won't lose when you wrestle.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what
that's
they did.
That's fine, yeah. I mean, Damian Sandow got the vignettes. And to go back, a year ago or whatever. And you've got, what was the other one? That even, like, we just talked about, Bo Rotunda. They didn't have anything for him.
No.
He went in. He stuck around for a little bit. They stuck around for a little bit.
They thought they were going to put him in with Wade Barrett. And maybe even to WrestleMania.
Changed, and then they rather than expose him there, they said, no, he's not. They pulled him away. And that's fine.
That's better. Yeah. I mean, I wish they had done something to finish it instead of just pull him away. But
well, they did. Just happened to be on NXT.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett beat him on NXT, right?
Yeah,
so,
but that's...
I know, but it is. So.
But it's, at least it's something, like you said. Other than that, I just want to say TNA this last week. Another good show, I thought. Again, consistently more interesting characters, a little bit better in-ring work.
Return of Abyss.
More logical bushing. Yeah, well, it's Return of Abyss the week before, and then continuing the Abyss, Joseph Park, they're really the same guy angle.
Yeah.
In a good way. But it's time to pull the trigger on it. You've been building it forever.
They're starting because Hogan even, I'm not playing, brother.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to play. We need Abyss. Like, almost saying, I know you're fucking Abyss without coming out and saying it, right? They're getting there.
They're getting there.
Yeah.
So, again, week in, week out, and probably but the advantage is they have to fill 2 hours of TV time. Week in, week out, still actually the better show. It's funny because I was trying to think to myself, if somebody came to me and said, I haven't watched wrestling in years, I'm going to come back to it. But should I watch WWE or TNA? I couldn't tell you. Like, I'm like, I think TNA is a slightly better show week in, week out. Not way better.
Yeah.
But the slightly better. Like I say, a little bit better ring work, because they don't have as many guys who aren't good.
I think I mean, like most of their characters. You're
Magnus
right.
is the only guy who I go, fuck, he can't work. And Morgan is not a good worker. And that's about
Magnus or Terry?
Or, sorry, Terry. Rob
yeah.
Terry.
Yeah.
Rob Terry and Morgan. And even Morgan, I think, has a usefulness. So Rob yeah. Terry can't work at all. And but other than that, they have their workers are better. They're doing good things with the X Division.
Rob Terry, remind yeah.
They're, yeah, I mean, they're, like I say, their stories are more logical. They're paced better. The wrestling's a little better. But at the end of the day, they don't have that feel like they're important. And they don't have the production value to equal the WWE. So if I was to tell somebody which one to watch, I really don't know. And I still don't have as much trust for them long term. I don't have any trust for WWE either. But
no.
But yeah, I just, you know, we're starting to see Slammiversary shape up. When is that actual card? We're getting pretty close, aren't we?
June 6th or something, I think, is it?
Yeah, so it's just a couple weeks away. Obviously, Sting and Bully Ray.
Or June 8th, maybe?
So yeah, what else did we start to see?
Should be a Sunday.
AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle.
Yes, they announced AJ Styles and Kurt.
Should be fantastic.
And they've announced, obviously, it's Sting and Bully Ray.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did they have? The tag, what are they doing for the tag? It's, isn't it three,
Is it a three-way again?
Yeah, it's with the mystery partner of James Storm,
it's a four-way.
Right? Four-way, that's
it's
right.
It's a four-way. It's, yeah, it's, Bad Influence, Daniels and Kazarian, who are awesome.
Yes.
The awesome team of Rude and, Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Bobby Rude and Austin Aries. You got, the very well suited to the tag team division, Chavo and Hernandez.
And James Storm and a mystery partner.
And, I mean, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Mystery partner, do they do it?
Does Braden Walker come back?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the question.
Do we see the return of, what were the team, what was their name? And what was his name in...
America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted, actually, Braden Walker. But what was his actual name in TNA?
He was Wildcat Chris Harris.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He has enough time to get in shape this time.
Will he, though?
I don't know. And are they going with him? And if they don't go with him, who do you go with?
They go with... I'll tell you who they do go with. Is they
Samoa Joe?
Wow, yeah, there is that. That's a backup or Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's...
Absolutely, I can see that.
Yeah, that was the first. I thought, yeah, Braden Walker, and then if it wasn't him, I thought, okay, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
D-Von is going to fight Joseph Park for the TV title.
Yeah.
Kenny King is against an Ultimate X match.
Yes.
Against Chris Sabin and another, they're going to determine. Maybe. Well, and in this...
Probably Suicide.
I will talk Suicide. We'll talk about Taryn Terrell facing
who's
Gail Kim.
Be,
but going back to
Kenny
King...
Who's going
to
be Suicide this time?
Well, I don't know, but getting back to Kenny King and that X Division quickly,
yeah.
Zema Ion.
What about
him? Zema Ion needed his appendix burst, needed emergency surgery after a house show. They opened him up, found that he had a tumor in, like, his stomach, and they've got to go back in, and he's got to have another surgery to
what
remove
type of
that.
Cancer
I don't know. I don't know. But something,
holy
anyway,
shit.
They got to go back in and remove that now. So,
oh, that sucks. That's awful.
So that sucks for Zema Ion, who's got to be, what, like 20?
21? Yeah, yeah. Just a kid.
You know, yeah.
Especially after Jesse Sorensen and, you know, all that, right?
So. Well, that's just it, right? So, I mean, you could just have a, you know, well, maybe they can, both of them, they can just, they call it a handicap match and they can have a match. But the actual date for Slammiversary is June 2nd. So it's like 2 weekends from now. Not this weekend,
okay.
Coming weekend, but the
so
following.
Pretty soon, pretty
yeah.
soon. Yeah.
Really good poster for it. Like a UFC style.
Oh yeah, I
poster,
like that.
Right?
Nice.
So
yeah, Sting and
Bully
Sting
Ray.
Bully Ray.
What do you think? You think Sting wins?
No.
Yeah, I just
no. I don't think so.
Then he can, and I, because I kind of like the idea of Sting never getting a title match again.
Yeah, there's that. He'll never, And it wasn't, you'll never get a title match as long as I'm the champion.
It's like, never again.
Never again.
Yeah. Never again.
Of course, they can get around it if they want.
The next 5 years until TNA folds, never again.
Well, I...
but...
I like TNA's folding.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I mean... They could get around it. Or it could be a way to say, okay, let's just... He's 53. Or he could put the belt on. They could. I just don't see that.
The thing with, for me, is that it's like... I don't know. There's so much in terms of... There's a lot going on. There's a lot of different factors to consider, so I'll kind of go through them one by one. In that, like, all roads seem to be building A to Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan. Okay?
Yeah.
And there is that. And I'll put that... I'm not going to go into detail on it, but there is that. Whether that happens or not. B, you've got AJ Styles as Sting.
Yes.
That should be the savior of TNA happening at Bound for Glory.
Yes.
Correct? B, now...
Well, that's the other thing is, next week he's supposed to be patched in to a member of Aces and Eights.
Right, yeah.
So I don't think we'll see that, and that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and he's fighting Kurt Angle, and he's got this thing. So he is still wrestling, though. He's not, like, staying in the rafters.
He's not in the rafters, no.
So he still could...
Well, he's not actually hurt.
But he still could go in...
Yeah.
The Bound for Glory series, because that's the other thing.
That's the other thing that's
Glory
really
series
is about to start.
And then you get the championship.
And this
match.
Time we'll get somebody. Somebody, a gut check guy is going to be entered into it.
But still, nevertheless, it's going to be.
No, I like that. That they're going to have next week on TV. It's going to be a little mini tournament.
Yeah.
Between the four guys who have won the gut check, are going to get a shot. The winner on that night will get a shot to enter the Bound for Glory tournament.
Sure.
And I love the Bound for Glory tournament. So.
It's great. The Bound for Glory series is great. Now, the thing is, but the winner of that gets the championship at Bound for Glory, isn't it? So there you go again with Bully Ray being the champion. If Bully Ray's not the champion, then you could have him fight Hogan or whatever, right? But if he should be the champion, and then the Bound for Glory winner is going to fight him. That needs to be AJ Styles has to win that to get his chance to... get the company redemption and sort of finalize that storyline, right? Because as much as it's a succinct kind of deal, it ain't a ratings getter.
Well, nothing is.
Nothing is, but and it's just wrestling generally is cold.
It's just that it's always at the same level.
Yeah.
This is where we're
at. Well, now they're going down, though. It's not that it's
actually, this last week they had a strong week, this last week.
No, the rating?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe it wasn't this week, but the week prior then. They did have one where it was up.
Oh, up, sure, but not... No, this was the
one... This was the one where they went really weaky right against NBA. Or was
it... No,
there was no NBA.
It wasn't no NBA, but it was season finales of, like, Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that was...
popular shows,
yeah.
Right? So, but, yeah, it still... There was no sports competition, and it was just... It was bad. So,
yeah.
Again, it's... I don't know. They have their audience, but their audience will... isn't a rabidly passionate audience, right? It's just someone... And who knows how many people PBR'd them like I did. I didn't watch TNA until yesterday.
No, yeah.
So it was... It's just one of those things that... It's not a must-see show, but it's a good show when you see it.
No, that's exactly
you know?
It. That's exactly
so,
it.
So...
Yeah. Raw still feels more important, but it's not the better show.
No, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, that's... It is. There's still something destination about watching Raw if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's ingrained in you. No, I mean, it's weird for me to even think of Kurt or of AJ Styles kind of the way he's been acting, even in the Bound for Glory tournament.
Well, that's exactly. But then what do you do? Because to me, the story has to be he beats and wins the title and is TNA at the end, right?
How many people are in the Bound for Glory? Like 12?
I think it's 12, because didn't they have three four-ways at that hardcore pay-per-view?
Something like that, yeah.
Last year, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's interesting, actually, because, I mean, who are you going to see this year? You're going to see, if you see a gut check guy, Jeff Hardy would have to be in again, you'd think. Kurt Angle. Samoa Joe, that's four. Magnus, that's five.
If Abyss comes back?
Abyss, maybe. Rob Terry again.
Did we say Samoa Joe?
I said Samoa Joe, yeah. Rob Terry again. Kazarian or Daniels.
Well, I don't know.
AJ.
Again, with the tag titles. I mean, there's AJ, there's... But and then do you do an ace? There's like Dawes. Does an ace's
Daniels
an ace?
Daniels was in it last year as a solo, because Arian wasn't.
Right? Does an ace's an eights guy go in, like Ken Anderson?
Yeah, I can see a Ken Anderson. And last year you had some guys who were kind of lower level guys.
To me,
last year you had your Pope, your Robbie T, your kind of lower level guys. A lot of them as
yeah.
well. So I mean, if you're looking at that, you're thinking, you know, like a Joey Ryan or a, you know.
Well, Joey Ryan, yeah, would be the Robbie T of the thing, but it's also
or Robbie T could be the Robbie T.
Well, that's
I love those guys.
Jesse
the team,
Sorensen,
actually.
Yeah. But
Jesse Sorensen's not bad.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
You're thinking the Peck dude. What's his name?
Mr. Peck. Oh yeah, Mr. Peck Doctor Jesse. Is it Goddard?
Yeah, Goddard. Yeah,
yeah, Goddard. Yes, that's right, Jesse Goddard. But I think that, it doesn't make any sense to me to have an aces and eights guy in it.
No, why would an aces and eights guy go in to beat the world champion, who's his, you know, the president of his gang, except for the idea of keeping somebody away from him?
No, but it's Hogan picking. And for Hogan to allow an aces and eights guy in the tournament, because theoretically this should be Hogan gets to make the matches as a general manager, so Hogan gets to pick who's in the tournament and who's not, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense for Hogan to pick any aces and eights guys to go in the tournament.
No, it doesn't. None.
So,
but there's ways around everything.
There, I mean, you win a match and you're in, but then you've got to put the guy in the match to win. You know, and so it's just
I mean, this next show is being taped what, tomorrow or the next? Or no, it's being taped on the Thursday. Is it live?
Yeah, we're coming up on a live one, aren't we?
And then a tape show after.
It's taped, yeah.
So we won't see the Bound for Glory actually probably announced until after Slammiversary.
Exactly. We have the next 2 weeks, and then Slammiversary, and then they come back live for the post show after Slammiversary.
And that's where we're going to start to see it.
When we can see that's when we can see the Bound for Glory series starting, absolutely. So, because that would be the next pay-per-view, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it Slammiversary, and then their next pay-per-view isn't until Bound for Glory?
Well, they only do the four now, right?
That's right. Slammiversary, Bound for Glory,
Lockdown.
Lockdown and Genesis, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they don't have a pay-per-view now after June. They won't have another one until October.
Yeah, I think that's right. Which is good.
Oh, it's very good.
Bound for Glory will really get the, it'll push the TV, and that made for excellent TV last year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So it's when they're the most focused.
Well, and yeah, and everything, as I said, I mean, the best part about last year was that everything had a reason.
And much like WWE's most focused, when it's like, okay, we're going to have the Royal Rumble, that'll lead to
elimination,
main event.
Yeah.
So we're going to have, so now we're focused, because now we know this leads to this leads to this.
Right.
You know, they're the most focused.
This past year, when at Raw 1000, again, that was the deal, is that they were focused on the main thing, is that Punk stays champion to fight the Rock at Rumble. So even that was a focus.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like a hyped thing every time, but it was at least a focus that they could point to. So I think
it's nice, though. Also, you know, a good thing for us as wrestling fans is that we've usually seen this WWE, you get to, you know, we're excited because it's Royal Rumble to Mania. And then now they've made Extreme Rules something worth watching. But then it's like, okay, it kind of sucks for a couple months. Till you get to SummerSlam, we'll have a little bit of buzz. But really, until next, and then it sucks even worse.
And then until January.
But now if you have Bound for Glory in October, those months that, like that September, August, you know, October period that used to really, really be a complete lull in the wrestling business, now you have your second company. That's when they're the most important. That's when they're most focused and they're most entertaining. That's their Rumble to Mania period.
That's right.
So it balances out the year much better.
And even
so,
last...
I mean, this is a great time for people. That's a great time when the Bound for Glory series starts. Great time for people who haven't tried TNA to try it, Steven and Jamie.
Yeah.
So, you know, just saying.
Yeah, just saying. Ajami.
What did I say?
Ajami.
Fuck him. What did it say?
You said a jammy.
Well, that's his name, isn't
he's
it?
He's a jar of a jammy.
Isn't he?
Ajami.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're wrong. He's wrong, too, if that's how he's pronouncing it.
Yeah. That, what does he know? Who'd he ever beat?
Who'd he ever train?
Who'd he ever interview? But I think that the one thing that WWE didn't do last year because they had Raw 1000 was they didn't do their summer angle.
No.
Because they had the Raw 1000 and that's what they were building.
That's what, Vince always talks about. Well, the big summer angle was that Punk turned heel. That was what was supposed to turn business around.
At
just
Raw
like 1000. Just like the year before was.
What was the year before?
It was Nexus that one year.
Nexus, and the year before that was, they had Nexus the one year, they had Vince blowing up, they had, what did they have after Nexus?
There was something.
It was.
What was the Punk and, Punk and...
The Punk
Cena.
Promo.
The Punk promo.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That was the Punk promo, so...
Yeah, so they always try and have that big angle there, so...
Yeah.
But they didn't, like you say, last year, so I think they'll be very desperate to do it this year.
I think so, because they said they don't have that Raw 1000. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see what that is.
Yeah.
And I said, if that's going to come, that would probably be coming, you know, if not after Payback, but pretty soon. Because, I mean, they are going to lead into Money in the Bank, right? Which is, again, now their Money in the Bank really is their new Survivor Series. Yeah. You know,
Then what's Extreme Rules?
You know, Extreme Rules, I felt more of a buzz last year, really, than I did this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Extreme Rules really...
But still, as far as loading the card with somebody, like a special attraction, like Lesnar and Triple H again, I mean, it's...
But that's...
It's at least their King of the Ring.
Yeah, I could give it King of the Ring. I'd give it the number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's... You know.
But Money in the Bank and TLC have also become something, right? So
that's right, especially Money in the Bank, though. I mean, Money in the Bank is one that
definitely much more Money in the Bank.
You watch to see who's going to win the briefcases,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And same way you watch the Royal Rumble, right? So it's going to be good. So there's a few things going. I don't know if there's any other. We haven't talked about what do you think about the Austin Aries Christy Hemme bullshit.
I watched it. I mean, I saw it on Impact.
Yeah.
When I saw it happen, I just saw Austin Aries. To me, it just looked like Austin Aries. Basically, what happened was he's coming out, and she announced his name wrong.
She announced the wrong team. She announced Bad Influence when Rude and Aries came down.
And he came down, and he got right in her face, and he climbed the ropes, and his junk was like a half inch from her face.
Yes, it was.
And I just looked at him, like, surprised, and Bobby Roode had this surprised look. Pissed off look too, and I just saw him. I just literally think he had this look in his face, like, "Oh, she screwed up. Oh, I'm gonna take this. I'm a heel. I'm gonna take this opportunity to try and get some heel heat." That's all I thought he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally how it came across to me.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe he crossed the line a little bit, and if he apologized or whatever, that should be good enough. I mean, it was. You know what the thing is? She doesn't have a right to in any way, shape, or form at any point in time feel uncomfortable in her work environment, but that's between them. I mean, being very public, and I don't get all that. And I really think he was just trying to be the heel.
I thought, yeah, so. To me, it just reeked of being blown out of proportion, and he's been fined in this TMZ and this all this bullshit. It's like, you know, did he be a heel and yell at her, and is she not...
She didn't seem to get it, and you know what? If she didn't get it, she should have went to somebody backstage and said, I was uncomfortable with this. Then the two of them should have approached Austin and said... You know, she was uncomfortable. She never should have gone to Twitter. Honestly, I really do believe that. As much as she has a right to be upset, I just don't think that's the way internally to handle it.
Yeah.
I think you're better off...
it went public, right?
When she made it public, I think she made an error. Like you said, it's hard to blame her because she is the victim here. But I think that was an error in judgment to go public. And Austin Aries, of course, when she goes public, he's still trying to be the heel. So, I mean, again, it's kind of stupid. That's my take on it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the same way to me, as I said. I just thought it got blown out of proportion. You got fined or something. It's like, who gives it? That's, to me, that's too much, but
yeah.
Whatever. And if he did get fined, who knows? I mean, whatever.
They said a substantial fine.
Yeah, so.
It's probably like half of his yearly salary, so.
$20?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It just, to me, was just dumb and a heel. And, I mean, quite frankly, the people don't fuck up.
Yeah,
none of this happens if you actually were.
And those things happen.
They
like
do.
I say, he didn't seem too upset with me, right? Like I say, I think he's just trying to be the heel.
That's what I took it as: is that he was a heel berating the announcer, right? I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he may have got too close because he thought it was Kelly Kelly and not Christy Hemme, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Christy, yeah, that's true. Christy Hemme doesn't look like the type who ever fucked around.
No, that's right. That's right.
But, so, yeah.
She likes her butt likes to eat pie.
Yeah.
But I don't think, is there any other news?
I think we're probably good.
You know what's really happened? I think so, and we'll wait to see how Raw is and see how Thursday
yeah, that's right. We'll go from there.
Go from there, but yeah, I think that's gonna do it. So, you know, we have an app, Stitcher, where we can be found on Stitcher.
We can also be found on that thing called Twitter, right?
Twitter, yes, at We Talk Wrestling.
Yeah. Stitcher, by the way, great place. It's a great way to listen to podcasts.
It is, yeah.
And, of course, the only podcast we really need to listen to
is We Talk Wrestling.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. For all your one stop, you get all your political news and wrestling talk there. Mm-hmm. You know, from Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to think
Wait a second, wasn't he a fat fuck?
Still is.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Wait a second, wasn't he a crack addict?
Don't worry, you're fat.
Oh. But wait a second, wasn't he a crack addict?
That's probably why you're fatter.
Oh.
Yeah. But, we're on that iTunes.
There. Yeah, and you know what, honest to God, please rate us or just write a quick comment if you use iTunes or, you know, make us visible. That really means a lot. So,
it does, yeah, you know, it does.
Like us on Facebook.
Yes, facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. And WeTalkWrestling.com is a website that we have, and it's @WeTalkWrestling.com if you'd like to email us.
Of course, every now and then we go through our emails or Twitter for questions.
We do, yes. Yeah. There's a little happening, which I think the coming months, so we're going to lead to Money in the Bank in July, which would be good, but I think June, you know, Slammiversary, we got at the beginning of June, but I think the crux of June is probably, in terms of a wrestling time, going to be kind of low, so we'll probably be taking a lot of questions, talking a lot of old stuff. I don't want to leave on a sad note, but today, May 19th, is the day that 11 years ago we lost Davey Boy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
May's
been hell on the Hart family.
Yeah, well, and just in wrestling in general, because we lost Macho Man Randy Savage coming up in the same time period in a couple days from now. But if I say Davey Boy Smith, what pops into your head?
If you say Davey Boy Smith, what pops in my head? Him with the cape. Like, as soon as you say his name, first thing that pops into my head is him with the capes, the dreadlock,
yeah,
the just the muscular look, the big smile, just looking like a superstar. Like that's the first image I get. I just think of that when you say Davey Boy Smith, that's what pops into my head.
Yeah.
I don't think about a match or anything. I think about him walking to the ring, just with that look. When he came back that time after he'd been gone for a while, and that was a slightly different look with the dreadlocks and the cape and just looking like a star, and that's just how I remember him.
Yeah.
So.
No, that was, I just.
Do you think Harry Smith will be at Bret Hart Appreciation Night?
I hope so. I hope so. If he's not in Japan, I don't know about if he's on doing a tour of Japan right now either. So, when I think of Davey Boy Smith, I think of really of three things, three moments. I think of the Wembley Stadium match, of course, against Bret Hart, Intercontinental Championship, SummerSlam 92. I think of previous year, 1991, I think of the coveted Samovar Trophy in the Royal Albert Hall when, with the help of Andre the Giant, he eliminates Earthquake.
Yes.
To win the coveted Samovar Trophy in the Royal Albert Hall. I also think of the Royal Rumble, where everybody talks about Shawn Michaels going the distance, but Davey Boy Smith went the distance with him.
Yeah.
And just you know, got eliminated with the only one of Shawn Michaels.
You know, when I think of the first matches, this is actually weird. The first two matches I think of. The first match I think of is him probably in 87, 88 in Stampede Wrestling against Bret Hart. They both of them had gone to the WWE and they were feuding for the tag belts at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and they faced each other in a singles match. And it was a great match. It actually played off of some of the matches and singles matches they had in different tag matches they had in the WWE, countering moves or whatever, and they placed it and took it out of the pavilion where they normally ran into the larger corral.
Yeah.
Because they were the WWE guys and they sold out. And that match actually is the very first match that pops in my head for them. Is actually, I remember that match very distinctly. It was just very, it was very cool to see them working each other in the Stampede wrestling style in Stampede while they're WWE stars.
Yeah.
And my second match that pops in my head is the Dream Team. When they won the belt at WrestleMania 2 against Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine.
Yeah.
He and Dynamite. When they won the titles there with Lou Albano in their corner.
And Ozzy Osbourne in their corner.
And Ozzy Osbourne as well. Yeah, very strange looking Ozzy Osbourne in this kind of orange
hair. Yeah, orange hair.
Yeah, orange hair and almost this orange suit. Like almost a orange pink suit.
Almost looking like Gene Wilder and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
I also think of Stampede, him, I remember him, like, where is Davey, you know, where did the British Bulldogs go? And all of a sudden, Davey Boy Smith shows up as a solo act and beats Don Morocco for the North American title in about 1989, I want to say.
Yeah, that's probably
early
right, 89
to win that as well. So,
yeah.
And then feuding with Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
Of all people, you know, in 1989.
Well, and of course, another thing that's going to be, when I think of Davey Boy, funny enough, one of the first things that pop into my head is he fell on his fucking arse
with the Shockmaster. That's right.
That's one of the first things that pops in my head thinking of.
Oh yeah. So. And again, it's the team with Owen there around that WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that was awesome.
Great, just tremendous stuff before that. And actually,
again, one of the guys that I never understood why he didn't get that. I know he couldn't cut a promo.
Mm.
But I thought that was a way around. Just one of those guys that never understood why he didn't get that title.
I think one of my favorite...
Because the time was never right.
One of the favorite WWF matches for me was that In Your House Season's Beatings.
Match against Brett
with the blood,
so
and just great match.
I think that's better than the Wembley match, actually.
It's not as famous.
Brett doesn't talk about it as... I actually think it's the better match. I would actually... If I had another chance to interview Brett, that would be a question for you. I think that... I mentioned that to him. That I think that's the better match.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a chance next Monday. I don't think so.
No.
Maybe we can ask Mick Foley next Thursday.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure he'll have an opinion.
Yes.
But anyway, okay, well, as much as it was a sad moment, it's some happy memories, so I think we can kind of end off on that. Like I said, WeTalkWrestling.com and @ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling. So that's going to do it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, should we record again? I forgot to say the last part. I forgot to say that we're OUT.
Would you stop eating, you fat fuck?